Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his holy and precious word of truth for our instruction. The word upon my spirit is these two accounts of the disciples going fishing. And perhaps as a text, we'll look at verse 5 of John chapter 21. This question, the Lord Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." This event here takes place after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's at least, I presume, a week and a bit after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We read in the previous chapter what happened a week after the resurrection, on the week after Easter. And so, sometime about the distance that we are now at after the resurrection, but it wasn't on a Sunday, of course. It wasn't on a Lord's Day, I don't think. But it was a day that they were going to think about what they were going to do. And what I want to look at this evening is to use these everyday circumstances. This is an everyday situation, really, for all those years ago. It was not an unusual thing for people to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee. It was just a freshwater lake. It wasn't an unusual thing to do. But Jesus uses what happens here to really teach us a lot of lessons about how he operates. And so we find that as in the first chapter that we read, in Luke chapter 5, the commissioning of the disciples, we find that the disciples were, or several of them, were fishermen. We know that Peter, James, John, and Andrew were definitely fishermen. Whether there were others, it isn't quite clear. And it was their job. Their job was to catch fish, no doubt, and to sell them in the local villages and towns around Galilee. They had ships, they were owners of ships, so those ships would have needed maintaining. They had perhaps sails to keep going and working in good working order, nets to wash and nets to fix and repair. And we see that they went out at night time and tried to catch fish out into the lake to see if they could catch fish. And they were aware that sometimes it was a good catch and other times it wasn't so good. Sometimes perhaps even there were no fish, and sometimes many. And up till now, they hadn't come across Jesus. Jesus has been busy in the first, or doing things in the first three, chapters 3 and 4 of, 2, 3 and 4 of Luke anyway. He's been doing various things in various places. But now Jesus has come into their area. He's come into Capernaum. And I think Capernaum was where Peter, James and John lived. And Jesus has been teaching, doing miracles, he'd been healing the sick and all sorts of things. And so there were crowds that were following the Lord Jesus. They all wanted to hear, they wanted to see what was going on. They brought people that needed healing. And they went, hearing the gospel message, the message that Jesus said that the repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was written about in Mark chapter 1, where we read that the text was, the time is fulfilled. In other words, now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now is the time for the kingdom of God to welcome people. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Lord Jesus went then with all these crowds and comes to where Peter was. And because there were so many people there, Jesus was on the lake shore, and it was like the crowds were pushing against him, and he almost was getting, I guess, pushed into the water because the crowds were there wanting to hear what he had to say. And there's two boats there. One of them was Simon's, and Jesus gets into the boat, and he was then going to teach the people from the boat. And we see that then the people were on the shore, and a little space away, Jesus gets pushed out into the lake a little way, and there we see that the Lord Jesus sat down in the boat. And if you think about it, that's a very calming and relaxed situation. You can just imagine the rippling of the gentle waves lapping on the shore. The Lord Jesus just gently bobbing up and down in the boat, his legs perhaps hanging over the front of the boat, and just sitting there and talking to these people of the message of the gospel, perhaps speaking of parables, perhaps telling stories that related to the kingdom of God. And he taught for however long it was, and then all that while Peter was there. He was hearing. He was hearing the message of the kingdom of God. He was hearing about perhaps the miracles and what Jesus could do. He was hearing about the Lord Jesus' care of his people and how God could care for his people. And now at the end, Peter is asked, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, it would appear that it was best to fish at night. And they'd fished all that night and had caught absolutely nothing. So you can just imagine Peter in his head thinking, well, I was fishing all night and I got nowhere. But then it's almost as if he thinks again and thinks, well, who is it that's telling me these things? I've just heard the Lord Jesus teaching about the greatness of God and the heard of the miracles that he is able to do. The Lord Jesus is a miracle worker. He has this belief that what Jesus says, I will do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, it's really important for us to know that what Jesus says and tells us to do is what we should do. Peter was a believer in that. Where the word of God tells us to do something, we are to do it. And Peter did it. He obeyed. And we see that there was this great miracle that was wrought. A massive draught or a massive haul of fish were enclosed by the net. Such a big lot of fish that the net started to break. They needed help of James and John, their partners in the business, or a fellow fisherman. And even with the help of James and John, we see that the boats began to sink, verse 7. There was a huge miracle. They were astonished about these things. Peter was astonished, and all that were with him. We don't know whether there were still a lot of people on the shore. Perhaps they were watching what was going on. And they saw, having heard Jesus and all that he was telling them about the kingdom of God, and now these fishermen are out catching fish, and they find this huge haul of fish. Peter has been there many times before, and he's never seen anything like it. There is astonishment here. This isn't just chance. This isn't just something good. This is something miraculously good. This is the God of all creation at hand. And we see that the Lord Jesus is so good. Where there is someone that has lent a ship for the service of the Lord Jesus, so that the Lord Jesus used his ship as a pulpit to be able to speak to all the people on the shore, we see that the Lord Jesus pays handsomely for the hire of Peter's ship. They no doubt sold those fish for a lot of money. And Peter realizes, having heard all the message from the boat, Peter realizes Jesus is God. It's really important for us to remember and to understand and to learn. We have to learn it. We don't know it by nature, but Jesus is God. And Jesus is now going to teach Peter and the other disciples a lesson. That just in the same way as Peter, James, John, Andrew, you've been fishing for years. And you've had some good days and you've had some poorer days. Now you've had a miraculous day. But now, it says here, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." You're going to be reaching out from now on, Peter and all these other disciples. They're going to be reaching out to souls, to people. You're going to be reaching out to souls to proclaim the gospel, to gather them into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be reaching out with the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus and his salvation for the saving of the souls of men and women and boys and girls, to gather them not into like fish into a net, but into the kingdom of God. They were going to be their future calling, if you like, their future life was going to be a life laboring on in the gospel. And as they had received this great blessing as fishermen, so the message there is that the Lord that granted that great haul of fish is able to grant great increase in the proclamation of the gospel, in the gathering in of souls into the kingdom of God. And we see that later on that did happen, where thousands were converted under the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost. And more than that, there is this message messaging in here, not an actual message, but the messaging is that as you work for the Lord and do what's necessary in proclaiming the gospel, so the Lord will supply your every need. Just as he did here with this great haul of fish. And so Peter and the other disciples, they followed Jesus for those 3 years whilst he was going through his earthly ministry. And now as we come to this chapter, in chapter 21 of John, we find that the Lord Jesus is now crucified and risen. And his disciples have seen him on two occasions already. But now they're waiting. And Peter, with I think it was six other disciples, said, "I go a-fishing." Now, there's a bit of, if you read the books about this and what other people say, there's a bit of a debate as to whether he should or shouldn't have gone fishing. And there were some that would say that the Lord Jesus hadn't specifically told the disciples to go fishing, so that they should have waited in faith until they had their next instructions. Well, that may be the case. Others would say that it was a good thing for the disciples to use the time that God had given them whilst waiting for further instruction, if you like, from the Lord Jesus. It was a good thing that they should use that time that he had given them diligently and constructively. You see, it may be in your life that you feel that there is a great commission for you, but just at the moment you can't see the way forwards. Well, it doesn't mean to say you do nothing. Perhaps, though there may be that special duty that you're being prepared for by the Lord, it may be that for the time being, until that day, we are to do what the Lord has given us to do, what has come to hand in our calling, in our daily life, in our daily business, in our daily job, or calling, or whatever it may be. And so, it's not in all that clear on this point whether they should or shouldn't have gone fishing. But whatever whether it was right or wrong, the outcome was that they were going to be learning a lesson. Because it says here, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Zero fish. No success whatsoever. And then we see the Lord Jesus came where they were. He comes on the shore of this lake where he's been so many times before with his disciples. And we see these beautiful words, verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" That word "children," if you look it up in the Greek, it doesn't mean little children, as in under 15 or 13, 12, 13 years old. It means almost adolescence. It means you have some skills, you have some strength, you are learning a trade, but you're not there yet. You're learning. It's like the Lord Jesus says, "You young men that are learning my trade." And he calls them children because it's a term of endearment. I'm your father. I'm your master. I'm your Lord. But I want you to know that you're my children. You're the ones that are learning my trade. You're the ones that are learning my truth. You're the ones that are learning my life lessons. Isn't it a beautiful thing to think of the Lord Jesus not criticizing those disciples? He doesn't tell them off. He just asks a simple question. Have you got anywhere? Have you any meat? Are you getting anywhere doing what you're doing? Have you got anywhere fishing for yourselves? Have you got anywhere doing your best? Following yourself, using all your skills, using all your talents as fishermen? Have you got anywhere? You see, really, these disciples should have known that they needed to be following Jesus all the time. The Lord Jesus, it shouldn't have made any difference to them, really, whether he was alive like he was with them for all those 3 years when he was walking about and they were following him as disciples, whether the Lord Jesus was dead, whether the Lord Jesus was alive, risen again. He's the same Jesus, and he needed following. And they were to follow him. And so there's a lesson to learn there for these disciples there to follow the Lord Jesus. He is their master. They are his disciples. They are his apostles. And as they followed the Lord Jesus in his life, so they were to follow him through his death. So they were to follow him through his resurrection. And so, and that's for us too now, to follow him after his ascension and to all eternity. There wasn't any difference in Jesus' command, follow me, all the way through their lives, all the way through his life. Whether he was alive before, whether he was in a grave, whether he was risen, or whether he's ascended, we are to follow the Lord Jesus. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And yet these disciples, they had to answer the question, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. No. Going our way, we've got nowhere. We've got absolutely nowhere. We've caught zero fish. We've caught nothing. And now, the Lord Jesus, they didn't know it was the Lord Jesus at this moment in time, but now the Lord Jesus tells them to cast their net, to let down their net on the other side. And just like as he done before, all those years ago, 3 years before, when he called them and told them to go and let down the nets and go and catch a draught of fishes, so we see this again. Put your net down on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. There's a message here, you see, a lesson to learn. Go where and when the Lord leads and teaches us. Do what he says. Go in dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And as they did that, so once again, they catch a massive draft of fish. We see that they caught such a great multitude of fish, they were not able to draw the net for the multitude of fishes. They couldn't bring the net over the side of the boat into the boat to land it in the boat. They had to drag it. And now the disciple, it says here that the Lord Jesus loved, that is John, he remembers something. This has happened before. There was a previous miracle, and Jesus did it. And he's able to say, it is the Lord. This is the Lord. This is God. This is the same Jesus who revealed himself to us as God those 3 years ago by such a miracle like this, when he provided for us in such an amazing way, when we started following the Lord Jesus and we were commissioned to go to be fishers of men. Now Jesus is revealed again through this miracle of a great catch of fishes. Jesus is revealed to them as the Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is God and he is alive and lovingly able to care for these young men. They were devastated. They were distraught at the death of the Lord Jesus. And now these young men have learned a lesson that the Lord Jesus hasn't abandoned them. He is able to supply their need in such a kind way. They're still in the school, if you like, of his instruction. They're still learning. They're still being taught by him. And he's still calling them children. And where they can't supply their own needs, he's now taught them that he's more than adequately able to supply their needs. And when they get to the shore, just picture what you see here. They've been out fishing all night. Out on a lake, I should imagine it's chilly. It's cold. They haven't had much success. They would have been a little bit perhaps down in the dumps. Peter had swam back to the shore. I'm sure the water was quite cold. He was obviously wet. But look what a loving Jesus we have here. One of the greatest joys of being a human really is to sit by a warm fire, being warmed up and by the lovely glow of a warm fire of coals, the coals glowing there in the hearth. And Jesus, there's a fire there for them. They can enjoy the warmth. They can enjoy the comfort after a cold night out on their boat, a cold swim back to the shore. And then the Lord Jesus hasn't just got them warmth. He's got them a breakfast, fish on the fire, and bread. Now, these fish weren't caught by the disciples. That's very clear, because in verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, "Bring of the fish which you've now caught." The fish that are here on the fire are the ones of Jesus' provision. Yes, later they did bring more fish and they cooked more of the fish that they caught. But Jesus didn't need them to catch fish for him to supply their needs that morning. Same with the bread. The bread didn't come from the boat. The bread was already there. The Lord Jesus has provided the bread for his disciples in their need. And then he invites them, come and dine. Here is, you see, the Lord Jesus. He knows human nature. He knows human need. He knows how to fulfill human enjoyment. He lovingly provides in kindness. You can imagine the joy and the delight in their hearts as they sat by that fire, eating those lovely fish in a bread roll or in some bread that Jesus has provided for them. It says here, the Lord Jesus came and took bread and gave them, and fish likewise. This is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the infinite God, but lovingly caring for individual human beings here in their hour of need, when they're learning the lesson that they need to follow him, when they need to depend upon him, and he will supply their every need in time and in eternity. And he does it in such a beautiful way. It's such a lovely scene that I hope you can picture in your mind on this shore of the Lake of Galilee. You see, the Lord Jesus is teaching these, if you like, learner disciples. They are learner apostles, like he calls them children, are apprentices, if you like. They're learning the trade. They need to be taught to follow the Lord Jesus, even when they can't see him. When he isn't specifically telling them what to do, they need to follow him. They need to know that what he is, what his motives, what his thoughts would be. And they are to seek to follow him and seek his blessing on the service that he gives them to do. And they are to learn this lesson then of love as well. You see, the Lord Jesus has clearly showed how much he loves his disciples. He clearly shows here that he is willing, his love to them is perfect, it is just what they need, and it is not limited by how much, how easy it is for him to deliver it, if you like. The Lord Jesus' love is without counting the cost. It's without counting the cost at all of what it cost him to love them in this way. And here's a demonstration that the Lord Jesus He's died, he's risen, and his care package is the same. They are to learn that care package isn't interrupted by death, and it isn't going to be interrupted by ascension either. The care package through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to continue throughout all their lives and gather them one by one in God's time into his kingdom, where he will care for them through all eternity as his loving bride. And so the Lord Jesus has demonstrated his love to them. And he asked this question of Peter here, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me, Peter?" And what they've been taught here, you see, is the lesson of how we are to love the Lord Jesus is in dependence upon him. We are to believe that he is able to care for us infinitely better than ever we can care for ourselves. That is the love of the Lord Jesus to mankind. He is able to supply all of our needs as we follow him, guided by him. We don't know the way to go. We are dependent upon him for him to guide us in the work that he gives us to do. In that way, Peter then says, "I love thee." He says that three times, and there are different meanings there, but I think in one of them it's, "You are my total care package. I totally need thee, Lord Jesus. I cannot do without thee." And the Lord Jesus then commissions Peter to feed his sheep. The sheep that belong to Jesus are entrusted to Peter. "You can be my shepherd," says the Lord Jesus to Peter. "You'll be working for me with my sheep. You'll be working for me with my people," says the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus has taught these disciples, these learner apostles, if you like, he's taught them this huge lesson that they are commissioned to do great things for the Lord Jesus, but the only way that they will be able to do those great things for the Lord Jesus is being by being dependent upon him, not upon their own resources and diligence or anything like that, because that will get them nowhere. They caught nothing. They had no meat. But in serving the Lord, he supplied their every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so they were, the lesson is to love the Lord Jesus in that they are to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus, relying on the Lord Jesus, supported by the Lord Jesus. And this is how, you see, we are to love the Lord Jesus. It's a lesson for each one of us, that day by day, as we travel through life's journey, we actually honour and praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by telling him that we are dependent upon him. Seems like an odd thing to do, but that is how we honour and praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, by telling him that he is infinitely greater than us, but yet that he is the one that we love. For him to reach out to us, he comes and takes bread and gave them fish likewise. We are to look up to his opening hand and to depend upon him for all that we have need of. And so we glorify him by committing ourselves to his care, to his loving kindness, that he would help us and keep us. David, the shepherd boy, talks about his rod and staff comforting me. You see, to know that the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, with his rod guides us, directs us, supports us, comforts us, protects us, and shields us. So that as we follow him, dependent upon him, we are totally safe. We are totally in his care. And so in the gospel work, we are to obey him. We are to be dependent upon him. We are to labour on in life's journey. And just as it was with fishermen, sometimes they got a good catch. Sometimes it wasn't so good. Sometimes there was none. Sometimes there was an abundance through the miraculous power of God. So it will be in the Christian service. We are to labour on. We are to do what the Lord Jesus says, is feed his sheep. We are to be working in his amongst his people. And to be in his service, dependent upon him, looking unto the Lord Jesus for his help. Because the Lord Jesus, you see, is our example. He has endured everything that he ever asks us to go through. He's endured it all and he's overcome it all. There is nothing that he asks us to go through that he hasn't endured and he hasn't overcome. He is risen. The Lord Jesus is risen. The problem of death itself is overcome. And the Lord Jesus endured the good and the bad, the miraculous. He endured it all, looking for the joy, I was going to say, that is set before him. He endured it for the joy that was set before him, because he believed that there was a purpose in it. He believed that by laying down his life, he was purchasing a victory for all of his children that he loved. All of those that would be totally dependent upon him, he was purchasing a victory for them. And so too you and I. Life isn't always easy. There are good fishing days and bad fishing days, if you like. There are days in the churches that are encouraging and those that are less encouraging. But we are to labour on. We are to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus. And just think of the love of the Lord Jesus. How on a difficult day, he is able to come right where the disciples were. And yes, they caught a great lot of fish, but they didn't even need the fish for the disciples to be provided. If they hadn't caught a single fish that night, the Lord Jesus would have had a beautiful feast, breakfast for them on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. A lovely fire, lovely fish, lovely bread. This is a picture of you and I as we travel through life's journey. It's not always easy. There's good times and bad. But to know the Lord Jesus as the one that walks beside us, to lovingly care for us, is the most beautiful thing that we can experience on earth. And it praises him to look up to him and see that we are dependent upon him. And he opens his hand and out of his fullness provides for us that fullness that he's earned through his death on the cross. He's gone right to the cross for his people. And we are called to go through some enduring times for the joy that's set before us, knowing that our Jesus is there to care for us in time and to care for us in eternity. That the Lord Jesus, as you go through life's journey, he has the ability to give you the strength to endure unto the end, that we may be one day with Christ, which is far better. Well, maybe may we be encouraged as we look at this account here that took place between 8 and 40 days after the Lord Jesus' resurrection. That's as close as we can get. But it's a true account, and it's a lesson for us all. And I pray that we may each be encouraged by these things to know. Just have a glimpse of the love of the Lord Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, in a circumstance where, children, have you any meat? Have you got anywhere by your own strength, by your own wisdom, your own skill?
And the answer is no. But with the help of Jesus, they had an abundance of blessing. May we know those abundances of blessing that the Lord Jesus is able to provide for us in time and in eternity.